Turn in your Bibles this morning to Proverbs 31. We are taking a break from our wilderness journey, stopping here in an oasis. Proverbs 31, if you've been with us, you know we've been going through the book of Numbers, but we're taking a break from that today. For Mother's Day, we're looking at a well-known passage, although we're looking beyond the boundaries of the well-known part of it, Proverbs 31, and considering the legacy of a faithful woman. And I'm going to begin by reading the first nine verses, of Proverbs 31. Here's what it says. The words of King Lemuel, an oracle that his mother taught him. What are you doing, my son? What are you doing, son of my womb? What are you doing, O son of my vows? Do not give your strength to women, your ways to those who destroy kings. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine or for rulers to take strong drink, lest they drink and forget what has been decreed and pervert the rights of all the afflicted. Give strong drink to the one who is perishing and wine to those in bitter distress. Let them drink and forget their poverty and remember their misery no more. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and the needy. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. You join me in prayer this morning. Father, we thank you for the gift of your word. We thank you that in it we see the truth, we see reflected to us our own characters, and we see the truth of your character. We pray that you would, by your Holy Spirit, apply this word to our hearts and change us to be more in line with you through the work of Jesus Christ, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Mother's Day is, for me at least, and I think a lot of preachers would echo this, one of the harder days to prepare a sermon for. Probably why a lot of pastors don't do anything special for Mother's Day. And there's certainly been times in my ministry when I haven't used Mother's Day as an opportunity for a special sermon. I've just kept right on with whatever series I was doing. After saying Happy Mother's Day, then we could just get on with it, right? And really, that's easier in a lot of ways because it's difficult to prepare a message that kind of hits on all fronts that are necessary on a day like Mother's Day. And what I mean by that is that I'm very much aware that as I'm looking out, even at a congregation that's small like this one, that all of you might be coming from a variety of different perspectives when it comes to Mother's Day. And as we mentioned earlier, for some, Mother's Day is a great day of celebration and joy, and for some, Mother's Day is a difficult day. And depending on where you are, either or sometimes both of those things might be true. You might be a woman who is a mother and is following Jesus and trying to faithfully live out your calling. And this is just going to come at you straight on, but it might also be the case that you're a woman who is not a mother and who wishes she were a mother. And so Mother's Day is hard for you for that reason. Or maybe you're a woman who's not a mother and has no desire to be a mother. And so this whole discussion is kind of needless, right? Or maybe you're a person who has a strained relationship with a mother. Or maybe you're a mother who has a strained relationship with a child. Right? Or maybe you're somebody who has lost your mother recently in the past year or two, or just, you know, whether or not it's only been in the past year or two, it's still something that hurts a lot. Or maybe you're a mother who has lost a child. You see, I don't know. I know that some of you are coming from certain ends of those spectrums, and multiple things of that category could be true for you at the same time. And it's hard to hit all those boxes, hard to check all those boxes. But what I believe is true is that regardless of where you are, regardless of which of those things applies to you, and regardless of whether Mother's Day is predominantly a day that's filled with joy for you or a day that's hard, I believe that God's Word speaks to you and that you will hear the power of the Holy Spirit speaking to you through God's Word, even as we talk about a subject that is hitting, first of all, women and mothers, and then the rest of us by extension. And so my prayer is that you will be open to hear God's word today, that your heart would be soft, all of you, men and women, and that your ears would be open. Proverbs 31 is commonly used as a description of the ideal woman, particularly verses 10 and following that begin with those words, "An excellent wife, who can find?" And we are going to look at those verses, the last two-thirds of the chapter here, in a little bit in our service. But a lot of times when people think about Proverbs 31, it's just that part that they think of, that part that talks about the excellent wife and all of her characteristics. And so it's used to talk about that. It's used to talk about the characteristics of an industrious woman, and it's valuable for that. I mean, that's not an illegitimate way of looking at it. But what happens a lot of times is that when people think about Proverbs 31, they forget about those first nine verses that we just read that open with the words of King Lemuel saying this is what his mother taught him. And so as we read through Proverbs 31 and as we consider it this morning, I want you to hear it in that voice that this is not just something written to talk to women about what the ideal woman is or something like that. But rather that this chapter, Proverbs 31, is a recording, a record of an oracle, that is to say, a record of revelation that was taught to this man by his mother. And as we think about that, as we look about that, we're going to see what a faithful mother, a faithful woman is. A faithful woman is somebody who helps others become the people that God called them to be. And that's what I want to lay before you this morning as we continue to study this. Faithful women help others become the people God called them to be. Faithful women, faithful mothers help others become the people God called them to be. King Lemuel is mentioned here in the first verse and a few verses down as being the one who wrote these things down for us as he was taught them by his mother. But then the question arises, who is King Lemuel? You know, you can study the books of Kings and Chronicles and you're not going to come up with an answer to that. There's no King Lemuel in Israel or Judah. And so people wonder who this guy is. Who is King Lemuel? There is some Mishnaic tradition, I think, that equates Lemuel with Solomon himself, that maybe Lemuel is some kind of a not a pen name, but kind of a euphemistic name or a poetic name for Solomon, which would make the mother that he speaks of Bathsheba, which is an interesting idea. For my money, though, I think it's much more likely that Lemuel was simply the king of another country, maybe a smaller country that was surrounding Israel in that day or somewhere nearby Israel, or maybe from some point in the past. And Solomon, as he collated and collected proverbs from all over the world, which is one of the things that he did, right? He wrote Proverbs, and as you read through the book of Proverbs, much, maybe most of it was written, originated, that is, by Solomon, but some of it was just stuff that Solomon found and collected and recognized as wise, and by collecting it together, that becomes then evidence of the Holy Spirit's inspiration of him doing that. And so I think that's probably what's happening here with Proverbs 31 too. So this is just something that Solomon became aware of. And he said, this has the marks of the work of God. I'm going to collect it with the rest of my Proverbs. And so it has been handed down to us. But in any case, we understand, however it got here. It is inspired by the Holy Spirit, and it is valuable for us for doctrine, for reproof, and for teaching. And so that's how we're looking at it today. This is the legacy that King Lemuel's mother imparted to him. She imparted this knowledge to him. And the legacy of a faithful woman, in this sense, works itself out in a couple of ways. And these are the two points that are printed in your bulletin. If you're the type of person who likes to take notes, you can use those as headings for your notes. We're going to see that a faithful woman is one who helps men be who they are called to be. That's point number one. And second, a faithful woman is somebody who helps women be who they are called to be. Those are our two points. There they are. Well, that's not it. Boy, somebody didn't prepare his PowerPoint properly this morning, did he? Going to have to find out who that is. I need a better assistant is the problem. Anyway, the points of the bulletin are the ones that we're going with. Faithful women are those who help men be who they were called to be, and they help women be who they were called to be. Faithful women help others become the people God called them to be. So first of all, consider what it means that faithful women help men be who they were called to be. This mother of King Lemuel, she instructs him and helps him and trains him to be the person that he was called to be. And she does that, first of all, by helping him to shun distractions. And there are two distracting things that are mentioned in the opening verses of this chapter, the potential distractions that she warns him against. The first is the potential distraction of women in verse 3. Do not give your strength to women, your ways to those who destroy kings. It's an interesting statement, isn't it? And again, assuming that Solomon at least is the one who chose to include this in this book that we call Proverbs, and knowing what we do about Solomon, Kings tells us that he had 1,000 wives and concubines, which personally I take to be hyperbolic, but even if it's hyperbole, it still means he had a lot of women in his life, right? One wonders what Solomon would have thought of this, what Solomon thought of it, how this struck him. Indeed, you can go back through the Proverbs and see lots of warnings along these lines, which you wonder why Solomon didn't take into account more than he did. Do not give your strength to women, Lemuel's mother tells him, or your ways to those who destroy kings. One's sexual appetite quickly becomes one's god. It's never satisfied, and it can make increasingly pricey demands. And at the very least, at the very surface level, we can look around at our society and see that its insistence on viewing its sexual appetites as normal and satisfying them completely without restraint is going to end poorly. It's destined not just for failure, but for catastrophe. But we can even go beyond that a step and consider how this woman's advice to her son, how her counsel to her son would have affected him, and see that in this warning to her son, there is the deeper truth that any human relationship, even one that is entirely monogamous, when put on too high of a pedestal, becomes a god. You see, we don't only have to see promiscuity or multiple women as a problem, as it was for Solomon and David, but even just making one person, one woman, or if you're a woman, one man, making one person the center of your devotion, giving them all your strength, that's going to be a distraction from who you are called to be, isn't it? That's a form of idolatry. And so she warns her son against it. Do not give your strength to women, to those who destroy kings. She warns him against this potential distraction, and then she spends several verses warning him against another potential distraction, the distraction of alcohol. It is not for kings, O Lemuel, not for kings to drink wine or for rulers to take strong drink, lest they drink and forget what has been decreed and pervert the rights of all the afflicted. Alcoholic beverages have the potential to lead one into drunken forgetfulness. And for Lemuel, then, this is a warning not to allow his senses to be dulled so that he failed to execute justice for the powerless. But it's really that I want to turn your attention to this morning. You see, these warnings against distractions are just that. They're warnings against potential distractions. Lemuel's mother's advice to him ultimately is, remember your calling. Remember who you were created to be. And you see that in verses 8 and 9. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and the needy. That was Lemuel's job as a ruler. He was supposed to make sure justice was done. And so Lemuel's mother, knowing that kings have a tendency to abuse their power and go in the direction of women or wine or any number of other distractions, those things would distract Lemuel from doing what he was called to do. So Lemuel's mother sees that her responsibility for her son is to help him be who he was called to be. Be the ruler you were called to be. Defend the poor. Defend the destitute. Open your mouth. Judge righteously. And I think we can extrapolate from that, and that's indeed what I'm trying to do throughout this message this morning. This isn't just the responsibility of the mothers of kings. This is the responsibility for all women to help the men around them become the men they're called to be. Lemuel's mother, in this sense, becomes an example to mothers in general, to those who are spiritual mothers, and I think to women in general. This is your calling, women. Help the men around you be the men they are called to be. Okay? Faithful women help others become the people they are called to be. The second half of the chapter, or the second two-thirds of the chapter, then deals with, as we've said, the excellent wife. And I am going to read through these verses. I'm going to take the time to read through them. I've said this before, but it's worth repeating. I do take a lot of time in our services to actually read the Word of God, and one of my comforts in that is that regardless of any nonsense that happens to come out of my mouth, at least you will have then heard the Word of God read and its value for you. So I'm going to take a few minutes and read through the rest of Proverbs 31. But as I read through it, what I want you to do is to hear it in a way maybe differently than you've been used to hearing it. If you've been in or around church, you've probably heard this read before. Maybe you've even studied it before, and you're used to hearing it, as I said, as a model that you should follow. And if you've heard it as a model that you should follow, then it's also very likely that you've felt it as a weight on your shoulders. And you've looked at it and you've said, this is beyond me. This is too high of a standard. I don't know how I can do this. And so maybe there's even something in you right now that's kind of saying, I don't want to hear him read this again. I've heard this before. But I don't want you to hear it that way. I want you to hear it as the voice of a mother speaking to her son. Remember, that's the context of Proverbs 31. A mother speaking to her son, number one, telling her son, this is the kind of wife who will help you be the woman that you are called to be. And then secondly, from that, and deriving from that, as a voice to women saying, this is how you can be the type of woman who helps men be the type of men that they're supposed to be. All right? So listen to the word of the Lord. Proverbs 31, 10 and following. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of grain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hands to the distaff and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gates. The characteristics of an exceptional woman are usually detailed something like this. When people are looking at these verses, they pull out things like this. She is diligent, right? She works hard. You know, you saw that there. She's creative and industrious business person. She owns her own business, it looks like. She is generous to the poor. She cares for her own family. She plans well for the future. She teaches wisdom. She shuns laziness. She's honored by her family. You know, you can probably pull some other things out of there too if you wanted to. And like I said, I think usually what happens at this point is that we create a checklist, right? Maybe you ladies have done this with Proverbs 31. Create a checklist in your mind, either just in your mind, or maybe even a literal checklist. Maybe you actually have a piece of paper with these characteristics on them, and you're going through them and thinking, okay, I've got that one down pretty well. I don't know about that one. I'll circle that and work on that a little bit. I got that one down pretty well. And you kind of go through it and think how well you're doing. You measure yourself up against this excellent wife of Proverbs 31. And I want to be very careful here. I want to be clear that, you know, Proverbs is a very practical book, and there is some sense in which this chapter, just like the rest of the verses in Proverbs, you know, you are supposed to look at it and go, how does this apply to me? What can I let this say to me about how I should be living my life and how I should be honoring the Lord? So I'm not saying that that approach to Proverbs 31 is entirely wrongheaded. There's some value in that. But I think if you stop there, if that's all you do with Proverbs 31, you're missing the best of it. You're missing the best part of it. In the immediate context of Proverbs 31, the point that Lemuel's mother is making is that this is the type of wife who will help Lemuel fulfill his mission. This is the opposite. You know, finding a wife like this, in other words, is the opposite of what she warned him against in verse 3. Don't chase after women, Instead, find a wife like this, right? And so by laying it out like that, Lemuel's mother is helping the man in her life be the man that he is called to be, and she is helping the women be the women that they are called to be, and she becomes an example to us in that way. That's what faithful women are supposed to do. And extrapolating from that, we can say that this is a good description of what women are called to be. But the implication is that faithful women are those who help both men and women be who they are called to be. Now, I want you to sit with that for just a second. A faithful woman, a godly woman, is a woman who helps the men in her life and the women in her life be who they were created to be. Doesn't that sound awfully self-sacrificing? For a woman to devote herself to helping the men in her life be the men they're called to be and to helping the women in her life be the women they're called to be, doesn't that require that woman to forget about herself? And the answer is yes, it does. But my suggestion to you is that that's what godliness is. That's what godliness is, and when we can lean into that and accept that we are called not to finally serve ourselves, but to serve others, this is true for both men and women in Christ's service. We are called to help others be who they are called to be. This is what elders in the church do. We were talking about this in our elder meeting this week. Our primary objective is to equip the saints for the work of service. My job as a pastor is not to do the work, it's to help you do the work. In other words, putting it another way, my job is to pour into you, right? Mothers, your job is to pour into others. Fathers, your job is to pour into others. Children, your job is to pour into others. We're supposed to help other people. We're supposed to look around us and say, how can we help others be the people that they are called to be? Faithful women are those who help others become the people that God called them to be. But there's even something else happening here too. In the larger context of Proverbs as a book, as a whole, there is something bigger, something deeper, something infinitely stronger than all of this. And I might even say more important than all of this. And in order to see this, I want to point out to you something that you might have missed as we were reading through that Proverbs 31 description of the excellent wife, the ideal woman, as she is sometimes called. And that is that this woman of Proverbs 31 looks remarkably like the personification of wisdom itself. So I want to read to you from another chapter of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 9. You can turn there if you like, or you can just listen as I read it. Proverbs chapter 9, verses 1 through 11. Listen to this. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beasts. She has mixed her wine. She has set her table. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, wisdom says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the ways of insight. Give instruction to a wise man and he will be wiser still. Teach a righteous man and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is insight. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years will be added to your life. It's wisdom speaking. In fact, if you go back into Proverbs chapter 9, you see what kind of amounts to a virtue play between two women. There's a woman who is wisdom, and there's a woman who is folly, and they're kind of arguing with each other. Making opposing demands or requests to people to come and listen to them. And then the book of Proverbs as a whole is couched in terms of who will you listen to? Will you follow wisdom or will you follow folly? That's what the book of Proverbs is all about. Will you choose wisdom or will you choose folly? And when you realize that wisdom is personified with that type of language, and then you see how the book of Proverbs is closing with this description of this ideal woman, it's hard to miss that there's a direct connection here. In other words, brothers and sisters, the point is this. Proverbs 31 is less about what the perfect wife looks like and is more about what is wisdom and are we choosing it? Are we following wisdom? And if you want one more proof of that, look at one of the last verses of Proverbs 31. Charm is deceitful. This is one of those verses that we memorize, right? We cross-stitch it and put it in frames on our walls. Charm is deceitful. Beauty is vain. But a woman who fears the Lord. Doesn't that sound familiar? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. That's the theme of Proverbs all through. That's what Proverbs says right from the beginning. Here is wisdom. Do you want to know what wisdom is? It's fearing the Lord, the woman who fears the Lord. Do you see how this isn't finally about what it means to be a good wife or a good woman? This isn't finally about what a man should look for in a wife, although it applies to both of those things. It does. That's not ultimately what it's about. Ultimately, it's about what is wisdom and where will we find it. Ultimately, wisdom is the fear of the Lord. So yes, godly mothers instill an appreciation for true biblically defined personhood into the men and the women around them. But the way to become the people that we are called to be is through the embracing of true wisdom. So what does all this mean? It means faithful women look beyond themselves and strengthen those around them, both women and men, so that they can become the people they were created to be. And ultimately, this is done through the embracing of true wisdom. But what is true wisdom? I need to read you one more passage of Proverbs. Will you listen? Will you bear with me for one more passage? Proverbs 8. Listen to this. In this, wisdom again speaks. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance in the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. I have counsel and sound wisdom. I have insight. I have strength. By me, kings reign and rulers decree what is just. By me, princes rule and nobles, all who govern justly. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even fine gold, and my yield than choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, in the paths of justice, granting an inheritance to those who love me, and filling their treasuries. Listen, the Lord possessed me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts of old. Ages ago I was set up at the first, beginning before the beginning of the earth, when there were no depths I was brought forth, when there were no springs abounding with water, before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills I was brought forth, before he had made the earth with its fields, or the first of the dust of the world. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limits so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him like a master workman, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world and delighting in the children of men. This is wisdom. This is the voice of wisdom, yeah? Commentators have long looked at that passage of Proverbs and considered them to be saying too much to be a description of an abstract concept like wisdom. It seems to be much more of a personification. It seems to be wisdom made into a real person, or at least the foreshadowing of a real person. And so the tradition of Christian church has been to look at this and see it as a foreshadowing of the incarnation of wisdom himself. Jesus is for us the wisdom of God. And so whenever we talk about wisdom, and whenever we talk about what is wisdom, and whenever we talk about what it means to find wisdom, or when we talk about what it means to really fear the Lord, the answer for us as followers of Jesus always has to be Jesus. Jesus is wisdom. Fearing the Lord means bowing the knee to Jesus. Being a godly woman means bowing your knee to Jesus. Helping others be the people they are called to be, whether men or women, means pointing them to Jesus. So sisters, my admonition to you today is, don't read Proverbs 31 and make a checklist and say, I've done this and this and this, but I need to work on that and that and that. That is not your calling as a faithful woman. Your calling as a faithful woman is to follow Jesus closely and point others to him also. Right? Faithful women help others become the people God called them to be, but you do that by by pointing people to Jesus and following him yourself. And that's true for all of us, isn't it? So my final admonition to all of us this morning is this. It is not, here's what you need to do to be a faithful wife and mother, nor is it even, here's how we can celebrate all the faithful wives and mothers among us, which is slightly better, but still off the point. My admonition to you this morning is, celebrate Jesus, who accomplishes everything for us in our place. Rest in him, and you will be the woman you're called to be, and you'll be able to help others be the people they're called to be also. We're about to celebrate the table of the Lord, and there is no better way to demonstrate in ourselves the reality that we are resting in Jesus than that. So I want you to consider all these things quietly for just a minute as the elders come forward and prepare to distribute the elements of the table. I want you to consider that. That as we eat and drink, we're symbolizing the reality that our reliance is totally in Jesus, who makes all these things true for us.